Blog Talk Radio.
The Madden Voice returns. Season 5, Episode 10. And this is Commissioner T sitting in a parking garage, attempting to host the show from the parking garage of the Hartford Convention Center. Long story, but we are here live. The Madden Voice is back, and I believe I have on the line with me my co-host, EAFL Super Bowl I champion, Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Another exciting week, man. Another exciting week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Joining us momentarily will be K-Star, I hope. I haven't really heard from K-Star. Have you heard from K-Star? I haven't heard from K-Star.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. All right. Well, he usually shows up at some point. Now, Train, I am driving. You wouldn't happen to have the agenda handy?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Excellent, excellent.
How you get in that situation?
Man, we had this big event in Hartford today, and it was supposed to be over at 7 o'clock, and it is, as you can see, a little bit after 8, and I am just leaving. I'm, like, in the parking garage driving right now, and thank God for my iPad, because I was able to go onto the site and, get all connected, and I am good to go. I just don't have the identity. But
wow,
I am good to go. So So if you could help me out with the agenda, man, we can rock and roll. And I'm keeping my eye on the switchboard to see if. Now I know K-Star said that there is
the tournament was supposed to get moved to this. He said last week. He said it got moved to next week, so it's supposed to be today.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So all right. So then we'll just roll forward, and hopefully he joins us at some point. And if not, then we wish him well in the tournament. So what do we got? What do we got first? What's up first?
Penn State interview.
Ah, yes. That's actually a good way to start. We can kind of get that out of the way. Now, did you hear the interview that Bob Costas did with? That guy, Sandusky.
Yeah, I did hear the interview.
All right. Well, what are your thoughts on the interview? What did you think?
Honestly, the guy sounds incriminating. Like, he really does sound, he doesn't sound innocent. Like, for someone to sound innocent, they ask yes or no questions with yes or no. Now, with this whole explanation of, yeah, we did have horseplay in the shower and we slapped each other with towels. He even one point asked him, was he sexually attracted to a boy? And he did not come out and say yes, like directly. Instead, he gave a big old explanation. And then after he explained, then he came out and said, no, I'm not.
Yeah. To me, that was the most incriminating part of the entire interview. I mean,
yeah.
I am a fan of the law, and I respect our legal system, and I argue with people that rush to judgment. But whoever advised this guy to go ahead and do that interview didn't know what they were talking about. He should not have gone and done that interview, because if he is innocent, he didn't act. He interviewed like a guilty person. He really did. And he at this point, he deserves anything he gets coming to him. Because if they ask you straight up, are you attracted to boys? The answer should be unequivocally, no, I am not. Not
that's
long, roundabout, I enjoy, well, you know, I enjoy being around them, and I, you know, and what? What? I mean, you know, Train, are you attracted to female alligators?
No.
You know, right. Not well, you know, I kind of like the scales on their skin and, you know, nice sharp teeth. No, the answer is no. So I don't know, man. The other reason I wanted to bring this up, not so much as to beat up on this guy. Last week on the show, I said I didn't have a problem with Paterno not retiring until the end of the year. But everything wasn't out by last Tuesday. By Wednesday night, I had changed my mind completely. And I completely felt like he should have stepped down. So I'm glad. I mean, I would have rather he had stepped down, but there was no way that he should have continued coaching that team. There's just no way. You know, I mean, too many unanswered questions, too many incriminating things. And, you know, there's absolutely no way he should have been coaching that team. Well, I mean, what do you think, Trey?
I've battled with this, like, back and forth as I listen to more stuff come out. And I kept trying to understand, like, initially, like, what all did he do? And it seems like he did everything except go to the police. And for someone that serves such a figure, it seemed like he should have exhausted all resources to make sure that either this guy was guilty or innocent or whatever, and he didn't do that. So I didn't disagree with them firing him at all.
Right.
Somebody had to be made an example, but I don't understand why the other guy remains on.
Yeah, the other guy. Well, he's on administrative leave now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there must be some legalities with that. You know, I mean, he's kind of a whistleblower, and I know that there's some laws to protect people that are whistleblowers. So I think they have to handle him a little differently than Paterno, you know, and everybody else. But that guy was the first line of he saw it and he blew the whistle on the guy. So, they got to be careful with him. At the end of the day, he's going to be gone too. It's just a matter of how they handle it. So,
right.
But, all right, well, anyway, main reason is I wanted to talk about the interview, and I definitely wanted to clear the air that, you know, I was 100% wrong. Paterno needed to be gone right away. I wish he had stepped down for his own sake. But he didn't, and the university did the right thing, and they continue to do the right thing. And I hope, you know, justice is served, and, you know, we'll leave it there. But let's get to the NFL, man. Some good NFL stuff went on this weekend. And, you know, what I'd like to start with is and I wish K-Star was here, but it's okay. But I really want to start with the Atlanta-New Orleans game because I heard for the last 2 days, for those of you, I mean, I guess, you know, by now everyone should have heard that the game went into overtime 23-23. And the coach, I think his name is Smith, you know, it was fourth and one from their own 29, fourth and inches from their own 29-yard line in overtime, and he made the call to go for it, short yardage with Michael Turner, and they stuffed him cold. And so, of course, he's being questioned, you know, the call's been being questioned. And what I heard a lot was, this isn't Madden. You know, this isn't Madden. You know, you can't make those calls. This isn't the game of Madden. And, you know, they like to do that a lot. They like to compare the NFL to Madden. And I got to tell you, you know, I mean, unless you know, I played a lot of Madden in my life. I don't play as much as some people, but I played a lot of Madden in my life. But I got to tell you, I would bet you that all the Madden games I played, if I looked at the number of people that went for fourth and inches from their own 29, it would probably equal out to what we find in the NFL. That's not something a lot of people do, you know, especially in a situation where there's a lot on the line. They're going to punt the ball, and they're going to count on their defense to get the ball back. It's not common. So I don't know, Train, you played a lot of Madden. What do you think? Is that something that you would have done in Madden?
Well, I mean, it depends on how well I was playing defense on the guy. And that's kind of what Coach Smith came from. You know what I'm saying? He said his defense wasn't stopping as like he wanted, so he took the chance. And, you know, I followed when I was playing Madden. I kind of followed them designing the game each year. And that whole fourth down thing was percentage-based. I mean, if you called the play and you ran it, it was based on the percentage of whether you would actually get the first down, depending on where you were on the field. And they kind of did that to try to keep it in line with, to try to simulate what actually happens on the field when someone goes for it on fourth down in their own territory. There's a lot of pressure. I don't necessarily think it was a bad call. I mean, if you do it all, if he had a chance, he'd probably do the same thing all over again. You're trying to win a game, like Herman would say.
You're right about Madden if you're talking about computer, but the user part of it takes away from the percentages. You know, if
true.
I'm controlling the linebacker and I'm blitzing, you know, then, you know, and with the nanos we've had in Madden over the years, you know, going for fourth and inches inside your own territory is dangerous.
Right.
If you're playing a quality opponent, and if you're playing someone that you think you can get it on, the chances are you probably won't get in that situation often in the first place. So, you know, but, all right, so that's Madden. But as far as the actual call, I don't know what the guy was smoking, to be honest with you. You know, this is overtime. And this is a division game, and why you felt that I don't know what he saw to feel like that was a good call. And then you run it right up the middle. I mean, I would see if he did something like try to call it, get him offside or play action, you know, and you know, so hit somebody in the flats or something. But you know, you muscle up and say our best versus your best, and then you run that play. I'm sorry, in that situation, you're not gonna win. It's just not
going to
happen. I'm sorry.
I think most coaches in the league will actually punt that. You're punting, what, seven yards back from your own 30. You're inside the dome. You can pin. You got a good punter. You can probably get it inside their 20.
Right.
And almost
right.
Hang this out, at least inside that 30. You can make them have to get about 50 yards in order to kick a field goal. And there's no telling what kind of play your defense comes up with, especially in that press. Because it's pressure on the Saints to actually get the ball downfield and get a score. Because this game is really for the division lead. So,
right. And, you know, when you make that decision, you're saying you trust your offense to make a half a yard in your own territory more than you trust your defense to stop Drew Brees in his own territory. And that's a pretty large statement that you're making there. That's, you know,
yeah.
If I'm on his team, I'm questioning why didn't you trust your defense? You know,
and
if
I'm not mistaken, I think that's what he said in his interview. He didn't think his defense. He said something about his defense not being able to stop them well towards the end of the game, which I don't fully agree. Because I think at one point they had a 2-score lead, and Atlanta was able to knock it down.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's not that easy to drive and be on a radio show at the same time, just in case everybody out there is wondering.
Please be careful.
I almost hit a roadwork sign, man. It's the best sign in the middle of my road. I don't get the call. But, you know, now they're sitting there at 5-4, and, you know, they put themselves in a tough spot in that division because, you know, right now, New Orleans, you know, is in the driver's seat. You know, you have they could have dictated that division, and now, you know, you pretty much on that call, you said, here you go, it's a division, New Orleans. And so that's why I don't get it.
You put yourself two games back, and then you hope it doesn't start a spiraling effect. And I don't think their schedule gets any easier. I'm not sure exactly how tough their schedule is, but I don't think their schedule gets any easier.
Right.
With who they have left to play.
Right. So, all right, what's next? You've got the agenda, son. What's next?
AFC East.
Yes. So it would now be the time. I mean, man, K-Star, I'm going to get you, man. Because I ain't even close. You ain't here. You know what I'm saying? He needs to be here, man, so I can gloat, man. I mean, I went 4-0 on my picks this week, and I was the only one that picked the Patriots to beat the Jets, which they did convincingly. And now I will ask you, Train, since we don't have our AFC guy here, I'll ask you, who's in control of the AFC East now, baby?
Man, after that, I said it before at the beginning, but I actually thought the Jets had hit some steam. You know, I said in the beginning of the season, I said, "Hey, until I see some consistency out of the other teams, I'll roll with the Patriots." And I'm backward rolling with the Patriots. After that, I mean, here you are, you know, lost two tough games, and here you are facing a division opponent in their home, and you come through, you do what you have to do to win. And the Jets couldn't take advantage of a defense that was ranked 31st or 32nd in the league for yards allowed, and off a team coming off two losses, and take advantage of being at home. And then at the same time, the Jets, you know, they're not playing that game towards their identity. And many have said this, you know, they've been a team that has a stout defense, you know, great secondary, and then, you know, running the ball. You got LT, you got Sean Green, so you should always be trying to run the ball. But it seems like they're more now trying to put the ball in Mark Sanchez, and I don't understand why you would do that. He hasn't proven to be anything more than a decent quarterback who can manage a game.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that I am learning really closely this year, I mean, we've all watched a lot of football, and I think that, you know, we all have our different beliefs on what wins football games and what wins championships and all of that. But I got to tell you, I'm really this year seeing the focus on how important a good quarterback is to a team. You know, you look at that game, and you look at the Patriots and the Jets, and the screaming difference between those two teams is Tom Brady. You know, if Rex Ryan had Tom Brady, Rex Ryan would have at least one Super Bowl already, maybe two. You know, and that's, you know, when Tom Brady is on his game, I'm afraid of him, professionally speaking. I'm afraid of what he can do when he's on his game. And if you look around the league, and we're going to talk about a lot of the other quarterbacks, but look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing, and the Green Bay defense it hasn't been on its game this year. Let's look at Indianapolis without Peyton Manning. Same team, no Peyton Manning, and they can't win a game, you know. And you look at the Cowboys, and you look at a healthy Tony Romo and the difference that makes, you know, in that team. You know, so, you know, you look at Philly. I mean, you can just go around the league, and almost everywhere you can focus in on, and maybe the exception right now, today, to the rule, might be the 49ers with Alex Smith, who's pretty much a game manager. So maybe right now Alex Smith hasn't stepped up to show you excellent statistics, but he's not making a lot of mistakes either. You know, he's doing what he needs to do to win the game.
Yeah,
right.
That's the big difference in this game.
And maybe Tim Tebow, and we'll talk about him too, is another exception. But how far will that honestly take these teams? You know, and that's the question out there, is maybe you can get by for a short period of time with a game manager or someone who doesn't strike fear in the other team. But is that going to take you deep into the playoffs and possibly to a title? And in my opinion right now is no. The dominant quarterbacks of this era are guys like John Elway, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. You know, the last 20 years, those, and if you look at all the Super Bowls, that's pretty much your Super Bowl winners. There might be
there were a few exceptions. You had the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean,
and you had Tampa Bay with John Gruden being the head coach. With, I think, Brad Johnson was the quarterback.
There were
a couple of exceptions. Yeah.
And that's the exception. And all those guys won one Super Bowl, you know, and didn't have dominant teams that competed year after year. You know what I'm saying? So
yes,
all the guys I'm mentioning, all the teams I just mentioned are dominant competitive teams. You know, the Manning-led Colts start every year 10-0. You know, so even though they only won one Super Bowl, you know, you just pencil them into the playoffs every year. So I mean, I really think we're seeing the importance of a good quarterback. And one of the reasons I wanted to emphasize that, and it's not on the agenda, but when you guys out there are talking about getting rid of your quarterback because he sucks and this, that, and the other, you guys need to understand this is not Madden and this is not fantasy football. And if you have a quarterback that you can work with, you need to invest some time and money and effort into that quarterback because, you know, there's only a handful of guys that can do this job to that level. And if you think you've got one, you know, you got to work with that guy as much as you can. You really, you know, and a team like Chicago and Jay Cutler, I agree. Who are you going to get? You cut Jay Cutler and release him, who are you going to get? You know, you work
exactly.
Him through a tough spot, and now what has he got? 3-game winning streak, beat Detroit, and, you know, you guys are on the path now to make a run for the playoffs. So, I mean, people have to relax a little bit. Fans out there got to relax a little bit.
I mean, yeah, they're quick to turn against their quarterback that was once winning for them. Oh, give us another quarterback. Who are you going to go get? You're going to count on drafting a rookie who you think might get you some W's. It doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks that are kind of in that average to good range. I mean, a lot of them, some of them just have inconsistency in their careers. They haven't been able to be with an offense for more than 1 or even 2 years before they change head coaches, change offensive coordinators, change teams. So that actually affects quite a few quarterbacks. When you do look at the guys at the top, they've been in their same offense, 5, 6, 7 years. And it does make a difference.
Absolutely.
And occasionally
you got the
exception with Cam Newton, who's just a talented quarterback. And, you know, he's using his talent and learning the system at the same time.
Right. Right. So, yeah, we agree. I mean, and I don't know how much disagreeing we're going to do tonight, but the AFC East, right now it's the Patriots to lose. You know, I mean, the Jets really put themselves in a tough spot. They've lost 2 to the Patriots. So, in essence, even though they're 1 game behind, they really are 2 games behind because of the tie, they lose the head-to-head. So, they actually need to finish a game ahead of the Patriots to win the division, and that's assuming Buffalo continues to implode, which they're only a game out, even though they're not, you know, they're heading in the other direction. But right now, I mean, I think we're seeing the Patriots come into their own. Defense is improving, and Tom Brady, you know, I mean, the first half he started off a little slow, but the second half of that game, he was the Tom Brady we all know. And as long as he's capable of playing at that level, he's going to be that team is going to be very tough to beat. You know, I don't care who you're playing, I don't care what stadium you're playing in, home or away, if Tom Brady's playing at that level, then that team is going to be very difficult to beat.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Can't agree with that.
So who we got next? What's next on the list?
We got these choking Ravens up next.
And you know what? Let's hold off on the Ravens and let's see if K-Star joins us. Maybe shoot him a message on Facebook. Maybe maybe he got the time confused if he's not in his tournament. And you know, I'd like to have him a part of that if he is going to join us. So let's hold off on the Ravens.
The Eagles.
Yeah, let's talk about
the Eagles.
Yeah, let's talk about the Eagles, man. That's an NFC topic, man. Let's talk about the Eagles. Now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, the Eagles whooped up on my Cowboys, and your question to me that you are regretting, the choice of words, was, is the dream team back? And I said, well, you know, let's not, they looked really good and they whooped up on the Cowboys, but they're still, was that?
That was a valid question at that time.
I didn't think it was only because it was ignoring the fact that they had played so many games that they looked like crap, and one game to me was not enough to say, are they back? Okay, yes, they looked good against Dallas, but, it was still one game.
I wasn't counting just the one game. I was actually counting the two games they had in a row, and then, two games in a row with, and Dallas coming off the bye. So it was actually two division games that they had one in a row.
Wasn't the other game the Redskins?
Yeah, it was the Redskins. Still a division game, though. You know how division games can go.
Yeah, it's a division game, but, I mean, it's not like they were playing the Giants. I mean, they're playing the Redskins.
Understood, but still.
So,
at the time, I think it was. I think it was about it. I mean, I'm definitely not regretting the question. I just think it was. It was just an interesting question to ask.
You ain't got to regret it. But I don't think they were ever here. I don't think they were ever here to be back. You know, Detroit wins three in a row. You say, is Detroit back? Because Detroit was 6-0. Okay, so Detroit showed us something, but Eagles haven't shown us anything. Yes, they whooped up on Dallas. So that was one game. But over the course of the season, these boys are 3-6. So that's the only reason I think the question was a bit premature, because their record at the time was still 3-4. As I said, I said, well, they're still they're 3-4 team. And they needed that game badly against the Cowboys. And as we both know, as all of us know, when Cowboys come to town, everybody puts their best foot forward. So it doesn't surprise me at all that was their Super Bowl. But since then, this team has lost two games. And they've lost, I believe they've lost 3 out of 4 at home. They are 3-6. And now Mr. Vic, has what Tony Romo had. So I know a lot about this injury. He's got two broken ribs. So I ask you, Train, as I chomp at the bit to give my own answer, are they done?
Man, I answered this last week. I answered this after Chicago ran through them. Yes, they're done. They were done last week. They're done this week. And just in case you decide to ask me next week, yes, they are done. They've been done, man.
Now I'm
going
to
the game against Chicago more than anything. I mean, you can't. They needed the game against Chicago in order to start towards coming back from wherever they were from. But no.
Well, and I'm going to define done. Done to me is they are not making the playoffs. They may get another couple of wins.
Right.
They may get a couple of impressive wins, but they're not making the playoffs. They are 3-6 after 9 games, folks. 3-6. Okay. They are not going to the playoffs. There's not going to be any miracle 7-game winning streaks here. That not only are they 3-6, they don't even look good at 3-6. They don't even look competitive at 3-6. They let the Cardinals beat them in Philly. Now, if it had been in Arizona, okay, because it is tough to play in Arizona. I'll be honest with you. Playing in Arizona is a tough stadium to play in. But they had the Cardinals at home, and they lost. That team is not together. DeSean Jackson, I mean, he comes out and he apologizes. Good for him, but he gets suspended because he missed the meeting. And, they ain't going nowhere.
Too many distractions, man. Too many distractions. You first start off with we're the dream team, and once you put that out there, no matter who it comes from, no matter if it does come from your second string quarterback on your team, that's what everybody expecting you to live up to. Especially when you go out there and spend all that money on free agents like you did, and you had never done it before when you actually had a team that was getting to the NFC Championship every single year. So, and with DeSean Jackson just not even, like, he's hardly involved in offense. I mean, Vic rarely throws this man a pass. And for him to get suspended for one game for missing a meeting, I mean, like, what example are you setting? I mean, what are you trying to show your teammates?
But you know what? Come on, man. You and I both know that Andy Reid's not going to suspend him just because he missed one game. There's more going on here than that. There's more.
Well,
because he missed one meeting. There's more going on here. Hold on a second. I see K-Star's with us. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Going on, fellas?
What's up, K-Star?
We are in the middle of discussing the Eagles, and we didn't get into the Raiders or Ravens or anything yet. We saved that for you, but let's continue with the Eagles. In my opinion, the whole suspension, it was not because he missed a meeting, okay? I'm sorry. I don't buy that missing one meeting, that your superstar misses one meeting, and not only did they tell him, they deactivated him for the game, they told him don't even come to the stadium. They told him go home. Okay? You don't tell him to go home because he missed one meeting. So I'm telling you, there was more to the story. And, hey, you know, when he was interviewed, he intimated that he's been having problems. He intimated that it wasn't just the one meeting. He didn't come right out and say it. But he said, you know, I've been going through some problems and I apologize. So I think they did the right thing. You gotta do what you gotta do.
You know, for a guy that's in his contract year, I don't understand why you wouldn't put whatever you got against the team for not getting you a new deal ready aside. You know, take the Matt Forte road, the Ray Rice road. Play your season. You're not just auditioning for the Eagles. You're auditioning for any team that if the Eagles do not sign you or do not franchise tag you, will pick you up. Nobody's going to pick you up with that attitude. Nobody's going to pick you up with that type of attitude and with your play. And when so far, with the way he's played this season, he's definitely not going to be a top wide receiver. Middle of the pack, average at best.
Well, you know, I'll say this, and then we'll bring K-Star in, but I'll say this. You know, I was listening to an interview with Mike Ditka, and Mike Ditka said it best. He said, when he played, you got one-year contracts, and you played your year, and if you did well, you got another year contract. If you didn't, thanks for your services. Your services are no longer required. And, you know, I almost wish the NFL would go back to a system like that. You know, and he said, the other thing he said is, you didn't come to your team in the middle of the season and negotiate. You don't do that. You're under contract. You agreed to pay to play for 3 years for $30 million or whatever the going rate is. So who gives you the right at the end of the second year to say, I want to renegotiate? Hey, this is what you got. And so if the team comes to you and says, I know you have guaranteed $8 million, but we've decided we don't want to give you that. Do they have any recourse? No. Once they guarantee your money, that's what you're getting regardless. So why did these guys get the, you know, all of this, contract holdouts and all this? What? Sorry. I don't buy it. I don't like it. I don't believe in it. I think they're all wrong, and I agree with Deshaun Jackson. You're not a superstar. You're a good receiver, but you're not a superstar. You need to realize that. You need to slow your roll out there, my brother. That's all I'm trying to say. K-Star.
What up?
Question for you, man. As we talk about the Eagles, we want to back up for a minute, and we want to ask you a Madden question about the fourth down call in Atlanta. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I heard all over, you know, ESPN and NFL Network, all the guys were saying the same thing. Why did Mike Smith make this call? This ain't Madden. And, you know, to be honest, I got a little offended by that. You know, it was almost like degrading us Madden players. Is, you know, we don't take the game seriously. We'll just, shit, it's a video game. You know, screw it. You know, okay, so it's 4th and 10, you know, and I'm at my own 1 yard line. I'm going to go for it anyway. I mean, can you clarify to our audience about the philosophy of if you're playing a mad game and you're playing, you know, young Neff for $50,000, okay, and you got the ball 4 inches on your 29-yard line, I want you to tell everybody, what would you do? Are you going for that? What's your philosophy there?
I'm absolutely going for it. I thought that was actually a good call. Then again, I play Madden, so what do I know? Seriously, though, I mean, what? Like, I thought it was a good call. I mean, think about it. You are playing Drew Brees. They know who their opponent is. They had a similar situation where they actually got burned by not doing that, as Coach Smith alluded to after the game. So it's like, you know, it's fourth and inches. Why can't, you know, it's inches. It's like, it's an overtime. It's not like it's in the first quarter. No, we're not talking about a first quarter game here. We're talking about, you know, again, a game that's in overtime. And, you know, again, maybe power O wasn't the best call right there. They could have, you know, actually had their offense out there, like, you know, Roddy White, at least. That's actually where they went wrong, to be honest. But they didn't have, you know, Roddy White out there. They didn't have, you know, any kind of threat of a real pass, just, you know, a strictly run. So it's easy for the defense to, you know, guess what they were doing. But it was a good call because, again, you don't want to get Drew Brees that ball right there. It's a big game at home.
All right, let me ask you a question, okay? So hold on a minute. So you're playing in Times Square. You're playing on a big screen, okay? ESPN is there videotaping. You're playing for $100,000, and you've got the ball fourth and inches on your 29-yard line, which means you're telling me, knowing that if you don't score, then that means Neff can kick a field goal and win $100,000 versus punting the ball down and trusting your defense to shut him down. You're going to tell me with $100,000 on the line, you're going for it?
Yeah, because, you know, there's so much of Madden you can't control, but the fact of the matter is you can control that situation. You know, it's a coaching situation, it's a coaching call. You don't have to get the ball back. And, I mean, I understand there's a risk in it, but, again, when you have a chance to win the game and on your own terms, you do it. So,
yeah,
to me,
that's
why
you're one of the best in the world. That's why you're one of the best in the world and I'm not. That's exactly it right there. That's why you're one of the best in the world at the game of Madden and I'm not. I would punt it, man.
Really?
I would punt it and count on my – yeah, I couldn't live with myself knowing that somebody nanoed me or something and, you know, got me, and now I just gave him $100,000. If I punt it and then he comes and scores, at least I have a chance to stop him. But if I go for that first down and I don't get it for whatever reason, because like you said, this is Madden, and anything can happen in Madden, okay? Anything. Yes, you can get it. You can run your money play, and you can get it, absolutely. But we've seen, I've been to enough tournaments, I worked with MLG for, you know, that period of time, and I saw enough people take these chances and later on come back and say, I just got maddened. So knowing that, I would punt it and I would try to, you know, get them pinned back deep and trust that my defense can either shut them down, I get the ball back, or I can get a pick or something. That's what I would do. But, you know,
okay,
you played me. I'm not that good. So,
yeah.
So you know, this is my philosophy. But let me add a couple of things we talked about before you called in. Let's talk about the AFC East for a minute. And let me take my minute to gloat that I was 4-0 on my picks last week, and I was the only one that had the Patriots beating the Jets. And I've already made train. You know, have to you know deal with my supremacy. So now I'm asking you, is that division done now? We saw the Buffalo Bills get whooped. We saw the Jets get whooped. Miami's already too far gone. Is it the Patriots division to lose, K-Star?
You would think it is because that was a big win. They're in the driver's seat, so to speak, especially with your Cowboys beating the Bills the way they did. So, you know, being that, again, they won that huge game. It was in New York. They were kind of reeling a little bit. You know, they're on the ropes. People were down on them. They went out there. They won the game. And, again, it's such a big win for the standings in the AFC East. And it looks like it's New England's division to lose, really. Like, they will just have to screw this up to not win it. I don't really see them screwing it up because, again, I mean, it is Brady and Belichick. So that was a monumental win for them. The Patriots aren't like the Ravens, so we'll just, you know, win a big game and then the next week lose this one with the Seahawks. So, it was big. It was very big. So, yeah, they absolutely are in control of that division.
All right. right. So you're up to date now. We saved the topic for you. So we're gonna go ahead and hit you with this topic because we did save it for you. But you know, what can we say about the Baltimore Ravens? You know, they once again have a huge win over the Steelers, and then after that huge win, they choke again against the Seahawks. Now, I'm going to ask you first, K-Star, and then we'll bring Train in, but, you know, the Seahawks beat the Giants. Now they beat the Ravens. Are they, you know, is this a situation where the Ravens choke, or are the Seahawks a better team than we're giving them credit for, despite their record?
Ugh, no. The Seahawks are bad. I mean, let's not act like they're not. I mean, they've had a couple good wins, but those wins they've had, I mean, I don't want to say they're fluky. I don't want to say they're fluky. You know, they played well in certain games, but there are also games where they got blown out. Like, you know, the Steelers played early this year, and it was absolutely like 27-0. So they've had games where they got absolutely destroyed, and they've had, you know, these kind of games where, again, they made plays to win the game. I wouldn't say they're a good team. Maybe slightly better than the record, but, again, they've also lost a lot of these games. They got blown out by the Bengals just, I believe, a week before. So, again, it's tough to say, you know, they're – good team either, so Ravens got to beat that team. Happy they didn't. You know, they are who I thought they were. And, makes me happy to know that.
We just the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Absolutely.
We've seen it three times.
I don't think I'll ever get tired of hearing that that Denny Green thing. But so let's go to the Ravens then. What's the Ravens' problem? You know, I mean, they have your number this year so far, but mm-hmm. they can't seem to sustain it. What's their problem?
I don't know. I mean, I think one thing I've noticed from the losses is that Ray Rice isn't getting the ball enough. He had 5 carries in the game, which is ridiculous. And the game was close the whole way through. It's not like they're sitting there getting destroyed where actually they had a pass every rip. Joe Flacco is not that guy that they can sit there and trust in the ball with all game and expect to win these type of games. Not that Flacco's a bad quarterback, but he's just not that kind of guy either, so... it just seems like they have identity problems, like a lot of teams in the league. They just don't know what the hell they're doing on offense from week to week, and it's resulting in 3 awful, awful losses for them. So, I mean, they're an enigma on offense right now, so it's just one of those situations for them.
Train, I ask you, what do you think about the Ravens losing to the Seahawks? I mean, they had that division in their hand, and now they just turned around and gave it right back to the Steelers.
If I was a Ravens fan, man, that's a big disappointment. I'm sorry, I'll check it out Seattle's record, and they played some games, you know, better than people would expect, and especially they had a big win over the Giants, but. You know, the Ravens just coming off that win against the Steelers, that's not how you're supposed to get the ball rolling, to lose against a team that you're definitely supposed to win. And you pretty much take a step back in your division. It's almost now that your 2 games that you got against Pittsburgh to give you a edge in the division almost – don't mean anything, because now looking forward at this schedule, there are teams that are actually better than Seattle on their schedule, Cincinnati included. Right. They got to play them twice. So what if Cincinnati splits with them? Pittsburgh, even after losing that game against the Ravens, they came out against Cincinnati. Well, I know we'll get to the next one. Man, that was a good game. And, you know, they played like the Steelers play, you know what I'm saying, against a tough division opponent, and they brought it out. But they look better moving forward than the Ravens do moving forward. I don't understand how you explain that loss. You know, and for a team to have a running back like Ray Rice and a quarterback like Joe Flacco and you throw the ball 52 times. I understand that you did. They came down, they scored 7, and then they got a fumble recover on the kick return, and so now they go up 14. But somewhere in between getting that 7 to that 14 points, your defense needed to be stout. Yeah, it was a bad situation for the D, but still, they need to be stout. Turn that turnover into 3 instead of into 14. But in either case, it's not enough to it still doesn't warrant enough for a quarterback like Joe Flacco to be throwing 52 times when you have a running back like Ray Rice. It don't add up. The game wasn't that out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, you know, I think, I mean, after they beat the Steelers, I was about to jump on the Ravens bandwagon and say, you know, Steelers, you guys in trouble. You can't beat the Ravens this year. You know, you're not going anywhere. But I have, oh, wow. You know, it's a problem when you go on the Internet looking for stuff and they have all these little commercials here. I don't want to hear this mess. Stop with these commercials. I'm sorry, guys. Got a killer commercial. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm on the Internet. I was looking at the Ravens schedule, and I found it, and then I got a Chunky Soup commercial for my pleasure. All right, so looking at the Ravens schedule, what I was trying to say before I got interrupted was I no longer believe in the Ravens because if they're not playing the Steelers, you know, and even though they have Steelers number, I no longer think they're a better team than the Steelers, to be honest. They beat the Steelers first game, then they turn around and lose to Tennessee, who at the time, I mean, they proved that at the time didn't look very good. Chris Johnson wasn't even doing anything, you know.
Looking
at this schedule, lost to Jacksonville, almost lost to Arizona, and now they lose to Seattle. So, I mean, and if you look at their schedule, yeah, they got Cincinnati twice. They got the Chargers. They got San Francisco. So, I mean, you know, they have a tough road ahead of them. So,
I love it.
Well, let's switch over real quick from the Ravens, stay in the division. Let's talk about Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I think that was a hell of a game. And let me ask K-Star, not necessarily about your Steelers, let me ask you about them Bengals. Did the Bengals earn any respect by playing as competitively with the Steelers as they did? Did they earn your respect?
They did. Actually, the first little run blew them out. They went up 14-0, our first two drives. They went 3-0 their first two drives, but they fought back, which is what good teams do, and they kind of proved that, you know, they can hang with us and you know, can contend. AJ Green is a monster. That catch he made on my boy Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark was embarrassing. How just nasty that man is. But, yeah, they've got a good team. I mean, Ben has been projected really well up to this point, ever since week 4 when we brought back Mike Starks. And they got to him a little bit, you know. At first it was all good, and then they started winning the battle up front, started pushing the pocket back, and Ben had loaded room in the pocket to maneuver around. And, no, they play very well, and they showed some resiliency again, which is what good teams do. But, you know, they came up short. They're a young football team. Not too happy with, you know, them having these first-round picks with Carson Palmer. That's kind of annoying. Hopefully they swap on them. But they look like they have a lot of potential to be a pretty good team for a while. I think Andy Dalton's going to be good again, rookie year, so, you know, it's tough to project the future for him. But it looks promising for them.
So, Train, I'm going to ask you, because asking K-Star this question is really gonna, you know, I know what he's gonna say. Right now, with the Ravens, you know, waffling a bit, who do you think's gonna take that division?
I think I still give it to the Steelers. I mean, you do have a game up on Cincinnati. I just see the Ravens struggling moving forward and potentially not even making the playoffs, and especially depending on their outcome against their games with Cincinnati. You know, with the way Cincinnati played the Steelers, and like I said, I understand that the Ravens beat the Steelers twice, but still, with the way the Ravens have been playing and the way Cincinnati has been, had played, you know, played the Steelers Sunday, they can beat the Ravens. At least once, and then once will be good enough because the Ravens are like they're up and down. They're an up and down team, and you know the Steelers and Cincinnati have been just a little bit more consistent. And Cincinnati's playing very good ball. But I mean, and I enjoyed that game, but I really have to give have to tip my hat to Big Ben on the first touchdown score because. I'm looking at their score, and I'm like, that's a sack. Hands down, he should not have gotten that ball. But I underestimated how mean a pump fake could be for defenders that are over-pursuing. And it was that whole play came down to a pump fake. And it just kind of set the tone for how well the Steelers are going to play for the rest of their game.
Stop feeding K-Star's ego, man.
I'm not trying to feed, because trust me, I was rooting for Cincinnati to come up with an upset. I actually like the way Cincinnati is playing, man. I like to see a team play that way.
Let me explain to you guys why. Right now, I'm not ready to give the division to Pittsburgh. I think they're certainly the favorites. They did just beat Cincinnati, and Baltimore is not giving me any reason to want to believe in them. But when I look at Cincinnati's schedule, okay, they've got the Ravens coming up. And even though it's in Baltimore, I think they can beat the Ravens, okay? They've got Cleveland. They should win that game. Now they've got Pittsburgh, okay? They played Pittsburgh to a touchdown. Pittsburgh jumps out 14 points. They never really got back. You know, that's a big lead to come back and try to win. So let's just assume Pittsburgh beats them again. This time they're at home. All right. So if we think that Baltimore is suspect, so Cincinnati plays Baltimore twice. Who knows, right? Who knows? Baltimore beat Pittsburgh twice. So who knows? They've got Cleveland. They've got Houston with no Matt Schaub now. They've got St. Louis, and they've got Arizona. Okay? So what I'm saying is now it gets more into what is the remaining schedule as much as it gets into who do you think the better team is. Pittsburgh may be the best team in that division, and I don't think anyone would argue that. But, you know, let's take a look, and I'm going there now, so it may take me a second. But let's go and take a look at Pittsburgh's remaining schedule and see if it's favorable. Because now with seven games left on the schedule, now I'm less inclined to just look at the quality of the team. I'm definitely looking at who they have left to play, and I'm seeing some of these teams that are considered to be pretty good. I'm not so sure that they're going to do well down the stretch. So, K-Star Steelers are going to Kansas City, okay? Kansas City has shown that they can compete. Not saying that they're going to win, but they can compete. They're going to host Cincinnati. We've already talked about it. They're going to host Cleveland. They should win that. Then they got to go and play Pittsburgh. San Francisco. That's a losable game in San Francisco. Then they host St. Louis, and then they go out to Cleveland. So, you know, that game on December 8th between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, that could be for the division. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. December 4th between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. That could be for the division. So, I mean, this is really going to come down to strength of schedule and what team can handle their business. K-Star, go ahead, man. I know you want to get in here.
Yeah, I mean, we go to Kansas City. Metcalf is out for the season. I just don't see how they can actually, you know, match up with us there. The Cincinnati game, obviously, is the one to look for. It's in Pittsburgh, which I think is pretty significant because the Bengals are a young football team, and it's going to be a hostile environment for them to come into. It's going to be tough for them to come out with a W. The Browns game, obviously, don't need to discuss that. The Niners game is going to be tough. A Monday Night Football game at San Francisco, so we know they're going to be roughed up. That's going to be a tough game. Absolutely, and then the Rams and Browns. We got really good schedule. Again, the Ravens, they seem to have the toughest schedule remaining. And with them being so up and down week to week, I mean, you would figure the Steelers are definitely clear to win the division. I wouldn't sleep on the Bengals, but I mean, again, if they're to do it, they have to beat, you know, they play Baltimore twice, so they have to go to Pittsburgh, so they have to rough the Pittsburgh as well. I think we're in the driver's seat right now. It's just not even being a homer, but we have to be in the driver's seat considering this situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got three tough games left, and you guys have
just Denver's
up still
in
Yeah. So I mean, you just beat them. So I mean, you certainly are going to have the edge. But I'd say you can't sleep on these Bengals. And if you guys both do your business, then the Ravens are going to be sitting home.
that'll be wonderful. Right. I'll make all mine.
Yeah, I bet it would. You don't want to see them in the playoffs. So we were talking about Vic before. Any thoughts on Vic and Deshaun Jackson and Vic's ribs and the loss to Arizona and any thoughts and stuff?
It was just bad. The Eagles are done. Last week they're on life support now, officially. It's just they're done. They're dead. Vic, apparently he broke his ribs the second play of the game. Still, though, to play that way against Arizona, it's not encouraging. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm a little concerned because they just paid him $100 million. I mean, he's been decent this year, but not $100 million worthy at all, which pains me to say. I'm actually a Michael Vick fan. Hopefully he gets it together. But, they're definitely done. They have to go at New York Sunday night, and that could just be a bloodbath. I think this is where they come undone because they're not putting together at this point. They're just, I mean, they're done. You know, I just don't see any kind of bright future for the Eagles the rest of the way. They might finish 8-8, and that's cool and everything, but, you know, they're just massively underachieved here. And I agree with you on Deshaun Jackson. There has to be more to it than him just missing, meeting or whatever. Someone tells me that this contract situation is lingering, in the front office and in the locker room and such, that they feel like, you know, with Sean, it's that meeting, let's go ahead and send this guy for a game. Because, I mean, let's think about it. He needed that game. And Michael Vick was pretty limited receiver without him. So they didn't really care, you know. And that's not the way for Deshaun Jackson goes. He wants a new contract. So I don't know why again, he's just some superstar. He's not. You know, he's a good receiver. That's it. So, Eagles fans, they have a right to be very disappointed at this point of the season.
All right. So, is it my turn? Is this my moment? Is this my time to shine? Do I get to say what I tell you? Here's what I'm going to say about my Dallas Cowboys. Here's what I'm going to say, okay? They're only 5-4. Got a lot of work ahead of them. It ain't over by any stretch of the imagination. But what you saw on Sunday was a healthy Tony Romo. Remember, everyone forgets when they talk about the Detroit game and they talk about, Tony Romo this and Tony Romo that. And, you know, everybody forgets that this guy's been playing with two broken ribs most of the season. Everybody forgets that he's been playing with a Kevlar vest most of the season, okay? Now, we don't make excuses. We just go play football. But what everyone saw on Sunday was a healthy Tony Romo. And that team looked as good as I've ever seen them look since the days of Aikman. It was a complete game. And they made a Buffalo team that most people thought was competitive look pathetic. Now, I didn't go crazy when Dallas lost to Philly, and I'm not going to go crazy with this win, but I will remind everyone that I said a few weeks ago that Tony Romo is on the verge of breaking into that upper echelon of quarterbacks, and I didn't get a favorable reaction when I said that. Well, what do you guys think now?
And you still won't get a favorable when you say that. I still don't agree with you there, and it's still a wait and see on him. Until he gets more consistent, I won't give you that.
Oh, so we're going to give it to Eli, right? We're going to say that Eli Manning is still a better quarterback than Tony Romo this year?
Eli Manning has a Super Bowl.
No. That's not it. You can't bring. We're not talking about Super Bowls. We're talking about this year.
This year he's been better.
Isn't that what we've been doing all year? We're not talking about
career. We've been talking about this year.
This year, Eli's still better this year. Yes.
You think Eli's playing better than even statistically? He's not playing better.
Hold on. Hold on. The meltdowns Romo has had this year. You cannot tell me he's had a better year than Eli Manning. There's just no way. Come on.
I can't tell you that.
Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let the quarterback rating tell you that. I'm sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
The quarterback rating is not telling the whole story. The quarterback rating is not telling us what we saw with Tony Romo completely just gave some games away. No, the quarterback rating does not tell
us. Tony Romo gave games away. Oh, my God. Here we go with the Tony Romo gave games away. All right.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he played good games. See, I was ready to say that was a good team for the Cowboys. And then you had to just say something like that.
I didn't say he's better than Ben. Yeah. I said he's better than Eli Manning. I said he's playing better than Eli Manning. And I'm tired of everybody saying Eli Manning is such an elite quarterback. Okay? He's having a good year, Eli Manning. I think Romo is having a better year, and the statistics prove it. Don't listen to me. Look it up yourself.
Listen, the stats, as we all know, don't tell the whole story. They don't tell, again, what we saw at the New York game, at the Detroit game. They don't tell us that at all. Now, let's just be honest with the situation. Now,
What was the final score of the Detroit game?
Don't remember. I just remember the Cowboys lost
34 to 30. Okay, so we're going to sit here and say that Romo scores 30 points on the Detroit defense that at that time everyone was afraid of. See, you guys are looking at it today, and you're saying, oh, Detroit, Detroit. At that time, they were feared.
Romo scored 30 points on that defense. Hold on. Let's not cowboy up here. That Detroit game, I still think Detroit's a good football team despite what happened to them on Sunday. Now, again.
This is still a first time cowboy talk, man.
Detroit's not a good team?
Not anymore.
All right, I guess one loss. All right, anyway. Now.
Look at the last two games. What are you talking about? Look at their last two losses. Look at what the freaking Bears just did to them. That's embarrassing. That's a division game. They got annihilated.
And they did. They absolutely did get annihilated. But
whoever suggested that Matthew Stafford was close to being a top five quarterback needs to have his
hands. I didn't say that.
Like,
I never said that. Someone else tried to say there could be an argument for it. I didn't agree with that. But now I still think he's towards a decent team. Anyway, that's not where we are here. The fact of the matter is Eli's having a better year. The Giants left a chance at the top of that division. Eli's been a huge part of it. The Cowboys have less teams out there. Romo's been a huge part of that. As well as wins. He played great on Sunday. Actually, he played phenomenal. I want to give him a lot of credit, but again, you kind of just still make you want to after this nonsense I've been hearing. But I think the biggest thing for the Cowboys is the emergence of DeMarco Murray. You know, that they now have a legitimate run game. This guy looks like a stud. And I love him because I got him on my fantasy team. But anyway, he's been very good. I think that absolutely adds a whole new dimension to the Cowboys offense because they have a good offense.
So let me quantify this for you, okay? Mr. Cowboy hater over there. Let me quantify this for you.
I'm not a cowboy.
Make it seem like Eli is having so much of a better year than Tony Romo. Okay? Eli has 8 interceptions. Romo has 7. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Romo's
mm-hmm.
quarterback rating is 97.7. Eli's is 97.0. Romo's completing almost 65%. 64.7% of his passes. Eli's completing 63.1%. Do not sit over there and act like I am crazy for saying that Romo is having a better year.
You're just looking at the individual stats. Those 7 picks, let's remember some of those picks and how monumental they were and how they cost them some games. I start to try and say, you know, you're happy about the whole Romo thing. That's good. He's been playing well. But as a collection of the games this year and everything and where they stand right now, Eli's had a better year.
The only picks that cost them the game, and actually I won't even say it cost them the game, because the Cowboys were winning
If I recall, I got to go back. It was 27-3. Okay, Romo threw 2 pick sixes. That's 14 points. Where did the other 20 points come from? There is a defense on that field.
That's a swing. That's not just a 14. No, that's a huge swing.
What didn't cost you the game, man? Those were huge.
Yeah.
If Romo takes care of the ball in that game, it's a done deal for Dallas.
He also had a chance to win the game.
He said the same thing. He said the same thing about New England the week before. That same week on the show, we said the same thing about New England for the week before. We were talking about Brady. You gotta take care of the ball. Okay, we didn't bounce out there.
I agree you have to take care of the ball. But you also have a defense
that's
not as tough. You also have a defense that their job is to stop the offense. You also have, I mean, I saw Phillip Rivers throw 2 pick sixes, okay? I saw Matt Stafford throw a pick six. Okay, there's guys out there that their job is to make a tackle. Romo put, unlike these other games, Romo put 30 points on the board. So, yes, those interceptions were huge. But you can't just look at the interceptions and say Romo threw the game away when he also put 30 points on the board. There is a defense out there that let that team in the second half and let Calvin Johnson in the second half.
New England put up 30 points on the board and they did the same thing. New England put up 34 points on the board against Buffalo and they threw 4 picks and lost the game.
Okay, but I understand your point.
Well, you don't really have an argument that, Romo put up 30 points. No, Romo threw away the game. Had he not
played, he had a chance again at the end of the game to redeem himself. Hold on. He had a chance to end the game to redeem himself. Again, he threw another pick. Another one.
How many touchdowns did Calvin Johnson get against Dallas in the second half? And how many big catches did he make? That had nothing to do with Romo. That's what
I'm
trying to tell you guys. It is ridiculous that this guy has better stats. He has played better games than Manning. And I still got to hear here and say how much of a better quarterback this year Eli Manning is. Ridiculous. You're right. It is. To be honest, Ben ain't even in this conversation. But I'm going to give Ben a pass because he's 7-3. Okay? So I'll give Ben a pass. But it's time that you guys start giving Tony Romo some freaking respect around here.
I'm trying to. I really want.
You want us to push Tony Romo up there.
I heard of Eli Manning. You damn right.
Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not going to do it. You can do it because it's your quarterback, but I'm not going to do
that. Wait a minute. Don't put words in my mouth, because that's not what I'm saying. I speak my words very clearly. What I said at the beginning of this discussion was he is emerging to get to that level. I did not in any way, shape, or form say he's on the same level as Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I said he's better. He's having a better year than Eli Manning.
Which is ridiculous.
We'll see. At some point, I'm going to wait when you guys come back and say, I guess you were right. Again!
No, it's not I'm not going to say to you, I guess you were right. I said the whole time, I like him as a quarterback. I like the way he's playing. Still, he is inconsistent. So until I see it week in and week out, this jury still stands out on him. I will not take anything away from him. Dallas does not need to go out and get another quarterback like some of their Hayden fans will say. Tony Romo is it for them. And he can do it for them. I just need to see more.
And again, T, I've been with you 100% that some of the Cowboys fans are absolute morons with let's get Romo out of here. Like that's silly. He's a very good quarterback. But again, I just disagree vehemently that he's not there. You're Eli Manning. I just think that's really ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But that's just my opinion.
I think the fact that you guys are so vehemently against it, like you won't even entertain it, is ridiculous. Because there's a one game difference between the teams. What are you talking about?
And it could be way better. The Cowboys could be ahead of the Giants by about 2 games, but guess what? We all know why they're not.
Exactly.
We know why it happened.
I'm not talking about what could be. I'm talking about what is. You're acting
yeah,
like
and Eli's having a better year.
About this. Is acting like I'm way out of whack here. Like, this is the completely most ridiculous thought in the world that Tony Romo could be having a better year. It's like one game difference.
I'm not arguing the better year against. I'm not arguing the better year against Eli Manning. I'm arguing the whole ceiling thing, but that's just me.
You're arguing what?
I'm arguing the whole breaking the ceiling thing. I still need to see more from him. I still want him to be more consistent. I want him to lead the team to wins and not cost them games. And that's what you tend to see from him. You see these great games from him.
I disagree with the statement of tend to see. He did play ineffectively in the second half against Detroit, and it hurt the Cowboys, absolutely no question about it. Since that game, because every quarterback, this is what I understand. This is you guys. What you guys are doing is exemplifying exactly my problem with why people treat Tony Romo so much differently in the NFL than everybody else. Because every quarterback has had those games. But for some reason, when Tony Romo does it, all of a sudden he's a choke artist, he's this, he's that, he's the other thing. Yes, the Detroit game was horrible.
The only reason we're talking is because Tony Romo is the subject. Okay, if you want to talk about another quarterback, I would dissect him. You want to talk about Jay Cutler, I'd dissect my own quarterback. But we're not talking about Jay Cutler. We're not talking about Flacco. We're not talking about Eli Manning. We're talking about Tony Romo. So, yeah,
my
favorite Tony Romo.
Eli Manning, and you both flipped out on me. That's what I said. I said, that's how this whole thing started. I never said he was better than Aaron Rodgers, which is how you guys are acting, or he's better than Tom Brady, or I never said any of that. I didn't even say he was better than Ben Roethlisberger. I said he's having a better year than Eli Manning, and you both acted like I created sacrilege. And I think that is ridiculous because it is debatable. I can agree to disagree with you. Don't act like my position is completely over it because it's not.
I just don't see how it's debatable at this point in the season. Like, from what we've seen,
I've given you fact after fact after fact to substantiate my
position. You just try to spin it the way you feel like spinning it because you're in love with Tony Romo, your quarterback.
There's a one. Hey, don't talk about who's in love with who, Mr. Homo.
Okay, Mr. Homer.
Hold on. I have gotten no facts from K-Star to support his position. I have given plenty of facts to support mine. There's a one-game difference in the standings, and every statistic that I quoted, Romo is outperforming Eli. Thus, I have a valid point. Whether you agree or not is your choice. But where I take exception is when you tell me that, when you act like I'm way out of whack, and it's the most ridiculous position in the world, because it's not. It's a valid point for all the reasons I said. You don't want to agree? That's fine. But there are plenty of facts to support my opinion. It's not just because I'm a Romo fan. It is because I've laid out to you a number of statistical reasons, including the fact that they are only one game behind the Giants.
I understand that, but you also just discount, you know, those two games and play everyone else that, you know, Romo for those losses. And those picks, those seven picks, again, they don't tell the story, the whole story of Romo's season. And you know that. That's why, again, when you just sit here and say, oh, it's quarterback rating, but to that, it doesn't tell the whole story. The stats almost never tell the whole story of what's, you know, again, going on. If you were to look at those stats, I agree. If you were to look at those stats and not, you know, the eyeball test of what we've seen this year, yeah, absolutely you can make a case that he's had a better year. But we've seen what's happened. You know, we've seen the situation. So, again, I just disagree.
Yeah, do you look at the whole season, or do you look at the games that validate your point? Do you remember the 49er game? Do you remember the Redskin game? Do you remember the game he came in after breaking his ribs and took him to win? I mean, look at the whole season, K-Star. You're only looking at the negative games to validate your point. There's 9 games of work, and most of that work has been on a very high level. He's had some breakdowns like most quarterbacks have, and he's not on the Brady Rodgers Breeze level. He's not. But look at all 9 games. And if you're going to criticize him for losing to the Jets and losing to the Lions, then praise him for coming back and beating the 49ers who are 8-1.
That was impressive. That was a very good win. That was a very good win. However, if you look at Eli's body of work this year, and you look at some of the wins he's pulled, and the drive for instance last week against New England, you know, then again, New England is or Eli Manning's been more consistent quarterback this year from what we've seen than your boy Tony Romo has been.
My point is, it's not crazy to think that Tony Romo has been more consistent than Eli. It is not as wild as they get to believe. That is my point. You want to say that Eli's better? You have every right, and that's fine. But don't sit there for any length of time and try to act like I'm saying that it's Jason Campbell or something. It is close enough where it could go. There's some good arguments for Eli. There's some very good arguments for Tony Romo, too. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So I'm going to defend, like you would defend Ben, I'm going to defend Romo, and I'm going to defend him with facts. So,
you know what? Well, Ben doesn't really need defending, but that's okay.
It's great that you two would defend your quarterback. But what interests me more is the road for both New York and the road for both Dallas moving forward. And the question of the agenda is, will Dallas catch New York? That's what I really want to get to. Because when you look at their schedules, the Giants have the toughest schedule that I've seen thus far for the last 7 games of the season. Their schedule is ridiculous versus what Dallas has to face for the last 7 games of the season. With that said, we're talking about December 11th possibly being the game for the division between New York and Dallas in Dallas.
I mean, both.
And then you have the battle of the quarterbacks and which one is better and which one can pull out that win, take their team to a win, not make the mistakes that will cause them to lose the game.
Hey, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, Dallas' schedule, to me, really sets up for them to make a nice run, and the Giants have a tougher schedule. And this is what I was trying to say the last couple of weeks, is Dallas played a lot of these tough teams earlier in the year. They played the Jets. They played the Lions. They played the Patriots. And none of the other NFC teams had played these games, so Dallas kind of flipped these tough games. And so now it looked like Dallas was in trouble. And I said, you hang in there. That schedule's going to come back. And Dallas is going to get some games that are very winnable, and these other teams are going to have to go and play these same teams, and they may or may not win. Now, you know, Dallas beat the 49ers. 49ers just beat the Giants, you know. So, you know, we are now seeing that, you know, and Dallas lost to the Patriots, and Giants beat the Patriots. So we're now seeing that these tough games are coming up for the Giants, and Dallas has, their next 3 games are against opponents under 500, and they got Washington, they got Miami, and they got Arizona. I mean, I like to take one game at a time, but looking ahead, they should go into December at 8-4, you know? And I think the Giants, they came back to us one game. I think they're going to come back another game, and I think December is going to be huge. We play the Giants 2 times in December, 2 times in 4 games. And I think the division is going to rest in those games right there. Whoever can outplay the other team, whoever can dominate and do what they got to do, will win the NFC East. And to be honest, that may be the only team coming out of the NFC East with a playoff berth.
Yeah. I still think that right now the most important thing to Dallas' success right now is the emergence of DeMarco Murray, but
I have to agree with that, man. That's a solid running game that Dallas have now. You know, no injuries. They're not worried about him going out with injuries. This guy is out to prove that he's a solid running back, and it's definitely helping to not for it not to be on Tony Romo's shoulders to get the offense moving.
Yeah, and I think that any team, I mean, I think that, you know, it's not limited to Dallas. If you have a running game like we now have, it certainly makes it takes a lot of the pressure off the quarterback, you know. And so I think that's definitely going to give Dallas more opportunities if DeMarco Murray continues to play well. I definitely think that that's going to help things out. And
you know, I agree. I definitely think, you know, it's all sitting there laying pretty for them if they continue to play at the level that they played at on Sunday. Yeah.
No, real quick, at this rate, because of the Ahmad Bradshaw linger injury and DeMarcus Murray's emergence, I might actually have to flip-flop here and think the Cowboys might actually, you know, with that schedule ahead, have a very legit chance of winning that division based on that. The fact that, you know, the Giants are banged up at running back. Meanwhile, the Cowboys have just discovered running back of their own. And, you know, that's off schedule towards the back end. I mean, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm a little surprised, though, T. I figure, you know, we'd spend a little more time talking about DeMarco Murray. I was actually looking forward to that because the way he's running. But, oh, well.
No, I didn't expect to get laughed at with my view. I really didn't think that it was that outrageous of a view. So, you know, Eli's playing well, but Eli makes mistakes too. And I sat there watching the game with the 49ers, and I kept saying Eli's going to give that ball away. That's what Eli does, because I've seen it a number of times, and it didn't happen at the time I thought it would happen, you know, so he didn't do it. But I was waiting because, you know, I've seen, you know, Eli Eli is not Peyton. Let's just put it that way. Eli is not Peyton. And, yeah, as far as DeMarco Murray goes, we're very excited about DeMarco Murray. We're very excited about having a back of that caliber playing that consistent. And, you know, I think we're cautiously optimistic because it is only four games. And so, you know, you want to see that over a long period of time before you anoint him. But, you know, in four games, he's for more yards than any back in Cowboy history. So, you know, you've got to be excited over the potential that he brings. Plus, he picks up blitzes. He can catch passes out of the backfield. I mean, he is all-around back. But let me give credit where credit is due here. Tony Fiametta is the fullback, and Tony Fiametta is definitely, you know, in a game where fullbacks are lesser used now, people are using H-backs, and, you know, they're using two running backs, and we're not seeing as many fullbacks. This guy is worth, I mean, he's the best fullback we've seen since Moose Johnson. And he's also helping DeMarco Murray play well. And Montre Holland, for you Cowboys fans that know the specifics about Dallas, actually came in because when Felix Jones got hurt, we also lost our starting left guard. And we re-signed Montre Holland, who had lost 20 pounds, got into shape, and we re-signed him. And he also has been a big, big help at solidifying the offensive line. So there's been some things that have happened to help DeMarco Murray. But that said, the guy's playing at an insane level. And if he keeps that up, Dallas is going to be very difficult to beat. So, all right. So let's one quick comment. You guys have any thoughts on David Nelson giving the ball to the cheerleader, his girlfriend, fiance, whatever she is?
Man, if T.O. can pull a Sharpie out of his sock, then this dude can give a ball to his girlfriend. That's all I have to say about that.
It's what her herself thought. I feel bad for her more than anything else because it was just mad awkward for her, you can tell.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, I think that as a Cowboy fan, it didn't bother me at all because, you know, it wasn't one of our players. You know, as a Bills fan, I don't know. My very first thought was, wow, you know, you're trying to celebrate a touchdown and you guys are losing pretty bad. Like, you know, I don't know how well that's going to go over. That was my first thought. But then later on, I was like, you know, guys in love. And, you know, how many times are the Bills going to play the Cowboys? And, you know, I mean, what's the big deal? You know, after a while.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's his girlfriend. I mean, it's not like she's at every freaking game. You know, she's a Cowboys cheerleader, so how often the Bills really go to Buffalo, so I didn't really see it in this year.
Right. All right, so now that everybody's probably tired of hearing me talk, let's give Train the floor. And but before I give Train the floor, I do have to just say one more time because, you know, I feel inclined to you know, since I get so aggressively disagreed with, I do believe that I said the Lions were all done, and I believe that K-Star did not agree with me, and he may still not agree with me, and I believe Train said, I hope you're right. But I do believe I called that the Lions were done. They're on their way down, and I believe I said it after they beat us, and I think I said, hey, I know I should be saying this because it's going to sound like, oh, great, But I'm going to tell you now, I'm not a believer in the Lions, and we're going to see them fall. And that team that was 6-0, or 5-0, whatever they were, is now 6-3. So I just want to say it's not over. They're going to continue to fall. I'm telling you. So, Train, Bears whooped up on them. I mean, are you guys back? Did you make your statement there or what?
Of course we made our statement, man. You know, and I'm not going home here too much. My team speaks for themselves every year, you know. And we started off rough. We played the roughest part of our schedule at the beginning of the season, having all those NFC teams back-to-back and even all those teams that have been to the playoffs, excluding Carolina and Detroit. But now we're sitting at 6-3. We're tied with Detroit. They still have the edge because they're only 2-1 in the division versus us being 2-2. But we've made a statement with that game, you know. And we won't be punked by a team of punks because that's exactly what they end up being. you sit here, you upset, you're losing. Your quarterback is having a frustrated game, and you want to tear off helmets. You want to tear off our quarterback helmet. And that quarterback wants to pull one of our players down by his helmet. I mean, the team, to me, is like a team that started off strong. And ever since Jim Schwartz done got hit in the back, you know, an aggressive handshake, the team is like falling apart at the seams. Only teams they're beating is the team that they're supposed to beat. But they ran up against a tough San Francisco team. You lost. You ran up against a tough Atlanta team. You lost. You ran up against a resurgent tough Bears team. You got blown out the water. And their schedule doesn't get any easier. So Bears are back. Lions all done. I can't really say yes. I don't know. But I know that they're falling apart at the seams, and their schedule doesn't get any easier for them. And I hope they are done. I would love to laugh in Lions fans' face at the end of the season. Only because the team has lost its class to me. I mean, man, I don't even know if y'all saw film from the game or clips from that game, but here in all the post interviews, all the articles I've read, all the videos I've seen, here they are supporting their teammates for snatching off people's helmet and pulling people down by the helmet and playing after the whistle. Really? So when you get beat up, you just want to beat up the other team. You know, you want to fight like little babies in a pen. And give me my toy back. Give me my football. I'm going home. Whatever, man. Yeah, their road gets tougher. Wait till they face Aaron Rodgers. I'm done. Go Bears.
All right. K-Star, any thoughts on the Lions? Their loss to the Bears and, you know, their prognosis moving forward?
What to say? I mean, the Lions are kind of in a situation right now where they don't really have a run game whatsoever. Javon Best is hurt. And honestly, they don't even know if he's coming back because of, you know, a concussion. He's had a repeat concussion issue. So they're going to rely on Matt Stafford and everything. And, you know, good thing for them is they play in the dome because he looked horrible in the helmets of Chicago. But I'm not ready to sit here and say they're done either. You know, they're 6-3. They got a game this weekend against Carolina at home. Carolina could win, but the way Carolina looked as bad as they did at home against Tennessee, I have my doubts Carolina can make a competitive game at this point. So, you know, the Lions have a chance to, again, if they get to 10 wins, I think that's all they need to possibly get in the playoffs. They still have a ferocious defensive line. That's the one anywhere. They still have,
all right,
again.
Well, let's take a look here. Okay, they've lost 3 out of 4. All right. So let's look at they're 6-3, 7 to go. Let's look at their last 7 games here. Okay. They've got Carolina coming up. Okay. They're at home, but could Carolina beat them?
Possible, but I'd give it to the Lions.
I'd give it to the Lions too, but could Carolina beat them based on what we've seen the last 3 out of 4 weeks? I mean, Atlanta went in there and beat them, you know. So
yeah.
We'll give it to Detroit, but if Cam Newton's on his game, it could be a long day, okay? We'll give that one to Detroit. All right, so Detroit's 6-3. So if they beat Carolina, they go to 7-3. They host Green Bay.
Green Bay, right? We agree?
Mm-hmm. They host Green Bay. Yeah.
They're going to travel to New Orleans.
That's a tough place. That's a tough place to play.
Absolutely.
Let's say
that's
New Orleans.
A very tough place to play, yeah.
7-5. They host Minnesota. Okay?
That should be good for them.
Okay. So
should be a win for them.
Should
but
be a win.
But that was a Minnesota team that we know early in the season, like Dallas had that game. I mean, they had Detroit, and
I agree.
They also gave it away.
But let's put this out. They're going to travel to Oakland. At this point,
now,
I'm going with Oakland.
They're going to
be I would go to Oakland. Yeah.
Darren McFadden's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay.
McFadden is back. Carson has.
Palmer's throwing the ball down the field.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. 8-6. Then they're going to host the Chargers.
They should win that game.
And right now, I'd have a hard time picking the Chargers, but we know the Chargers down the stretch play winning football. Whether we like them or not, whether we think they're going to get in the playoffs or not, their history is down the stretch, they win games. So that one is a pick'em game. Agreed? Pick'em? Based on what we know today?
I would add to Detroit.
So we'll add to Detroit. We're at 9-6, and then they finish with Green Bay. Now, Green Bay may have nothing to play for at that time, or maybe they're playing for 16-0 and momentum into the playoffs. Mike McCarthy's history is he plays all 16 games. Okay, that's his history. So,
and plus, I was going to say, plus, if that's a game that if Detroit win, Detroit gets into the playoffs, Green Bay is not trying to let that happen.
Right.
You know, I don't think the game against Green Bay at home at Thanksgiving is a gimme for Green Bay, though. I mean, that's going to be a tough environment. Like, again, I understand that the Packers look great, but the one thing that, you know, could give Aaron Rodgers' problem is, you know, at a dome, with the pass rush like the Lions do have at home, again, division rivalry, Detroit, I'm sure will be amped up for the game. So I think that's could be a tough game. I think I could see Detroit win the game. But again,
I don't disagree with you. But what I am saying to you is, once again, I'm showing you why I think they're all done. Because right now we agreed on minimum 4 reasonable losses, and the wins are San Diego, which. Okay, could they lose that game? Absolutely. And I don't mean the NFL they could lose. I don't mean that whole, well, you're playing a team in the NFL. I mean San Diego plays on that level where they can beat Green Bay, okay? And the other win we gave them was Minnesota, which if Minnesota plays the way they played against Green Bay the first game, it'll be a better game, but we'll give them that one. So out of all these games, the only 2 kind of definitive wins were Carolina and Minnesota. The other ones, this team could be sitting at 8-8, which is what I called. So, you know, and they could get to 10-6. I mean, I'll concede they could get to 10-6, but with what I've seen recently, I don't think it's happening. I think this team's done. I think the Bears, like I said, I said it before when they were up on the Bears by 3 games. I said the Bears are going to be the team that's going to overcome Detroit, and I firmly believe that that is happening as we speak, and it just happened, and I think it's going to continue. I think the Bears are going to – I mean, unfortunately for Chicago, they got to play in the division with Detroit. I mean, I'm sorry, with Green Bay. So, you know, Green Bay's going to win that division, but Chicago's going to compete hard for that wild card spot.
Well, Detroit has problems moving forward anyway. I know last week I was the one who mentioned Matthew Stafford up there, but it was purely based on stats. I hadn't really watched him play many games this season with the exception of the one he played against Chicago early on. And looking at him from yesterday, you know, he looks like Jake Delhomme looked when he was down there with Carolina and it was him and Steve Smith. Steve Smith was his first, his second, and his third read. If he didn't get it in those 3 reads, he probably threw it away, threw an interception, or got sacked. And that's exactly how Matthew Stafford looks. He can't get it to Calvin Johnson. He kind of like a deer in headlights.
Hey, K-Star, Tony Romo or Matthew Stafford?
What?
Tony Romo and Matthew Stafford.
Head or tail?
Huh? What did you say?
That's I said heads or tails.
Wait a minute now, right?
That is
Matthew
cool.
Matthew Stafford 6-3, right?
I mean, yeah, heads or tails, you know.
Oh man!
God, I love it. All right. Let's see. Where are we here? What are the chances? I mean, let's talk about the 49ers train. Let's talk about them 8-1 49ers. And this is Commissioner T saying that he's right, Knight, because I've been right so many times, man. I don't even know what to do with myself. ESPN, you out there, you need me. You need me out there on TV with you guys, because I'm right too many times to be sitting here with these mere mortals. I need a higher level. I need higher,
hold on.
A bigger challenge.
Hold on. I believe I'm dying to pick for this year so far, so let's relax.
Wait a minute, man. I was asked to come do this show. I will not be referred to as a mere mortal. You refer to me as, you know what I'm saying, your friend, your co-host, and man, this is my dog. You know, that's how you refer to me, bro.
Hey, man. At 10:01, you're my dog. At 9:36, you're just a mere mortal, man. You know, I'm just saying. I said weeks ago that the 49ers were for real, even though Dallas beat them. I said, unlike when I lost to Detroit, and I said, yeah, they won, but I'm not believing in them. I said the 49ers are for real. Jim Harbaugh's got that team playing, and that team's going to beat it. Now, I didn't think they'd run off 7 straight. I didn't think they were that good. But I'll be damned if that team isn't that good. And I will say this. I know I argued the whole Tony Romo, Eli Manning thing, and I still believe what I said. But I don't believe the Giants are going away. When I said Romo's better than Eli, it's not like by a mile. It's tight. Eli is playing some football, and the Giants are playing some football, even with their injuries and their challenges. They play those 49ers tough, and they are definitely. I mean, we're going to be battling them down the stretch to win that division. And I think you guys are right about whoever outplays who between Romo and Manning. That team will probably win. But that was a hell of a game the Giants played against the 49ers. And even though they lost, that was not an embarrassing loss. That was like, damn, they got us. We'll get them next time kind of loss. So, hats off to the Giants. But let's talk about the 49ers. 8-1. I mean, can this team, you know, I don't have the record the rest of the season in front of me for Green Bay and for the 49ers. But, you know, we know through history the pressure to go 16-0 is going to mount. We know this, and let me start with you, Train. And again, I haven't looked at the record, but can the 49ers get that number one? I mean, they're on their way to a first-round bye. They're definitely going to lock up that division in, like, the next 2 weeks, so that's done. But can they get that number one seed? Can they wrestle that away from Green Bay?
T, I'm going to have to say no. And it's not that I don't think they're capable. It's because of strength of schedule. Green Bay's strength of schedule kind of favors them a bit. I mean, and with the way they're playing. I mean, if we're talking about a Detroit team that's falling at the seams, then we're talking about a Green Bay team that can probably dominate them when they get ready to play. And, you know, I think with the way Green Bay is playing, I don't see San Francisco getting that top seed. And because, I mean, yeah, the Ravens, they're playing kind of wobbly, but it's still the Ravens. And they got the Steelers. And they have a host of division games. And we all know, regardless of how bad that team record is, you know, when Detroit couldn't win a game that 1 year, I don't want to have Chicago have to play a Detroit team that hadn't won a game. Because they play like they got nothing to lose.
Let me just say one thing about division games, though. I agree with you in theory, but I got to tell you, man, if there was one division that I'd say that team ain't really got any worries. I mean, Seattle has shown some resistance, and I guess Arizona upsetting Philly, but I'm more on the line of Philly ain't really that good to begin with. But, I don't think these guys are going to roll over that division. They got five division games left,
I don't think any of them teams are going to be. I mean, yes, I agree in theory. I do agree. Division games, it can go either way. Period. I agree with that. So I will lay that as my foundation statement. But these guys, I mean, these guys have played the Cowboys. They played the Giants. I mean, they played a high level of competition, and they're winning. I mean, they didn't beat Dallas, but they were there. They beat the Giants, and they're playing well. And that defense is playing better than Green Bay's defense. Now, granted, Green Bay's got a juggernaut, incredible offense. But they almost have to have that incredible offense because that defense really hasn't been playing like the defense of the past that we've seen Mike McCarthy put out there with Green Bay. So
only with the exception of last night. Only with the exception of last night. Last night is probably the only time that Green Bay defense has showed up all season.
Yeah, I mean, but I'd also say even though Minnesota played them well the first time, I mean, it is still Minnesota. It is still, I mean, you know, they're not having a good year, you know. And but you're right. The defense did play better last night. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just saying that Green Bay better not snooze because, you know, San Francisco's going to be right on their butts, man. San Francisco's going to be right there. And
but this thing, when you look at San Francisco's schedule, they got Baltimore, they got the Steelers, and they got the rest of them, nothing but division games. Look at Green Bay's schedule. They got Tampa Bay. They got Detroit twice, Chicago once. So they got three more division games. They have Oakland and Kansas City, and they got the Giants.
I'd almost say Green Bay's schedule is tougher than San Francisco. Green Bay's division games are going to be tougher. Green Bay's division games alone are going to be tougher than San Francisco's.
Yeah, they are. They are. I don't disagree with that. But with the way they're playing, I mean, the offense is almost unreal to watch. I hardly ever see them get down. I've seen them been down in one game all season long, and that was against Carolina.
Because Green Bay is so doggone good, I'm hesitant to say that I think San Francisco is going to sneak in and get that number one seed over them, but it wouldn't surprise me to see it happen because I think if you looked at remaining records, I think you'd find Green Bay's schedule is a little bit tougher than San Francisco's. And if for no other reason, their division opponents have better records than they've already played Minnesota twice, so they've got 2-6-3 teams in their division, and the 49ers, you know, their team, I mean, those records are horrible. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
They're almost 3 weeks away from locking up their division.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. All right, let's jump one last thing. Let me bring K-Star in on this last topic, and then we'll go to pick some games for next week. You know, I was going to – one of the things I was going to ask you, K-Star, is – you know, are people sleeping on the Texans at 7-3? I mean, you know, right now the Texans, the Steelers are 7-3, and even the Patriots are still only at 6-3 because of the bye. So, you know, that's how I was really going to ask you. But I have to change that question and say, you know, are the Texans in trouble because Matt Schaub is out for the season? I mean, they got to get Matt Leinart now.
Yeah, real quick, it's not bad to say, but I'm a little bit relieved in that shot up for the year because the Texans are about to get Andre Johnson back. And, you know, they're actually the one team in the playoffs I really didn't want the Steelers to play because the run game is that good right now. Their defense is ranked top in the league, if you can believe that. And, you know, that ground game is just, it's insane right now. They run on everyone, you know, and they got all kinds of running backs. So, they're, you know, it definitely hurts losing, you know, Matt Schaub. That ground game can help mask that. But at the end of the day, when they are in the postseason, you know, it's going to be tough for them to advance at all because they're going to need some good quarterback play in the postseason, you know, to make some plays for them. Can Leinart be that guy?
They may not make the postseason because they're only one game in the loss column ahead of Tennessee. And Leinart hasn't done anything in the NFL. Nothing. So, you know, were they going to get a wild card? I mean, I think you're
I figured they're going to win the division still. I mean, even with Matt Leinart, that run game is just so good in that defense. I mean, if, you know, you could still win a lot of games this league just by having a dominant run game and a pretty good defense. And Matt Leinart probably had like 10 attempts. So I still think they're winning the division. But I'm definitely happy that, again, sounds bad to say, I didn't wish injury upon him. But now that he is out, I'm a little relieved just because, again, that's a tough team with Matt Schaub in that lineup. So
yeah, I'm not impressed with Matt Leinart. Now, I've heard reports that he's working really hard and, but I'm not impressed with him. He's got nothing in the NFL. And, here's a guy who had a chance to come in after Kurt Warner in Arizona, and he's gone, So I think they have a great run game. We'll see. Andre Johnson had a hamstring. So we know how hamstrings are. Let's see how healthy he is when he comes back. But they do have a great running game, so that will keep them competitive. That might be their saving grace. And, yeah, their defense has been playing well, so we'll see. But we also know what a questionable quarterback can do to a good team. Most of our conversations tonight have been about quarterbacks. So I'll say it again. I think I might have said this before you came on the air, Cornstar, but, quarterback – this is a quarterback league. I'm sorry. Sorry to all the running backs out there. This is a quarterback league. And what we're seeing this year is how important a good quarterback is. Look at Indianapolis without Peyton Manning. Look at Tom Brady versus Matt Sanchez. Look at what a healthy Tony Romo did to what was supposed to be a pretty good Buffalo Bills team. Look at Drew Brees. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers, with a team that defense is okay. Not great, but okay. And they're blowing people out because every time he gets on the field, he throws a touchdown. So with that said, the flip side of that is I'm not sold that Matt Leinart's going to be able to go in and keep it going. He might, but I have to see it first, and we'll go from there. All right, so let's pick some games as our time is running short. Let's pick some games. And I picked four games. Just based on what I thought were competitive and interesting games. First one I have is the Jets on Thursday night going to Denver. We didn't talk about Tim Tebow. We didn't talk about the guy goes 2 for 8, completes 2 passes, and somehow or another Denver manages to win again, and he's won 3 out of 4 as a starter. And now they're going to host the Jets who have, a game ago, we thought the Jets could possibly take over that division. But the Patriots put them back in their place. So I'll start with you, K-Star. Jets at Denver, who you like?
I like the Jets. They're coming off a tough loss, to New England. So this Tim Tebow thing, I'm rooting for Tim Tebow. And I'm actually very impressed with he goes 2 for 8, I understand that. I was very impressed with him on Sunday because, the thing with Tim Tebow is they're going to have a very good run game. They lost no Sean Moreno and Wes McGahey for the whole game, but the threat that Tebow brings to the ground is pretty extraordinary. So I do believe they're going to run the ball. I do believe it'll be a close game because of the style that Denver's playing right now with Tim Tebow, but I got to get the Jets the edge simply because they're a more well-rounded team than Denver is. But I do think it's going to be a close game. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Trey?
I'm going to give it to the Jets. I think way too much credit is being given to Tim Tebow and not enough credit is being given to Denver's defense for keeping games close enough for Tim Tebow to win it. I'm sorry, you can't continue to win games with the way he's playing. And I think the Jets are going to smoke him, period.
Hold on, real quick. I got to jump in on this. I've been hearing a little bit of that. The one counter thing I got to say to that is the ground game of Denver's offense right now is keeping that defense fresh. They're playing the clock. They're controlling the clock. They're limiting the opportunities of opposition. It's making it easier for Denver's defense. Of course, Tim Tebow, is doing what Tim Tebow does, and that defense is playing well. But, again, the way that Denver's playing with that style of offense, you got to give credit to because not any team can sit there and go run. Tim Tebow does bring that element of run game to that offense again. So he is able to control the clock, and that's why now they actually are able to play some decent defense. So,
We saw that ground game in one game. We saw the ground game.
No. It hasn't been one game.
You haven't been seeing that ground game the whole time. You didn't see that ground game against Miami. You saw that defense keep Miami from getting that score out of hand. 15 points is what they scored. They had a 15-0 lead all the way down to 3 minutes. That's defense. That is defense that did that. And then
now,
Tim Tebow came in and did his thing, not the
ground
game.
And that was the one game. And that was the one game that more or less that – I mean, again, their defense has been playing well. You know, Von Miller, rookie of the year defensively, it has to be. But I'm simply saying that the way – no, that ground game has been pretty good the last three games with Tim Tebow at the helm. And again, I'm just saying that ground game is controlling the clock. It's condensing the time the defense is on the field. It's keeping them fresh. It's the reason why the scores are kind of low right now, because they're playing ground and pound. Tim Tebow's running the ball a lot. And even Anthony Ball, their first team running back, they will run the ball against the Chiefs. So, again, that ground game has been pretty good the past few games. Look what they did open.
Too much credit given to dude, not enough credit given to the defense. It's the same situation when Kyle Orton was a starting quarterback in Chicago the year that Rex Grossman should have been a starting quarterback, and Chicago went 11-5. Kyle Orton went 10-5 behind a defense that didn't allow you to get 17 points.
Mm.
Not saying that defense is that good, but their defense is doing enough to keep the game within hand so that Tebow can win it. 30-some point game.
Why was Kyle Orton 1-4 as a starter with the same defense? I mean, you can't dismiss the fact
that was a long pause.
Well, you can't dismiss the fact that their defense held Miami to 15 points, but Miami's defense held Denver to 0 points until 3 minutes in the game, and then Tim Tebow came in and scored 15. You know, and finally knocked them 15.
Okay.
I'm just giving credit where credit is due. I don't think you're giving the guy enough credit. Yes, their defense has been playing well, but it's the same defense that Kyle Orton had, and they were 1-4. Tebow is doing something. He's a horrible quarterback, okay? Let's not get it twisted. But somehow this guy's managing to win games. That Miami game is a classic example. That's all Tebow down the stretch. He won that game down the stretch. I mean, Miami's defense had them shut out till 3 minutes, then this guy comes in, two-point conversion. I mean, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. But that said, I think the Jets are going to win. So
I agree. We all agree on the winner. I just think there's something to that ground game with these people there.
I'm not backing that guy. He might be the winner that they say he is, but he's not going to get that division from Oakland.
Probably not.
Did anybody predict that they would be one game out at this point in the season? I mean, you know, it's unbelievable that whole division is within one game, and Denver is right in the mix. So that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But anyway, all right, next game, Cincinnati at Baltimore. We saw Cincinnati play competitive against the Steelers in a loss. We've seen Baltimore up and down, up and down. We don't believe in Joe Flacco. They are home. It's a huge game for Baltimore. It's a huge game for Cincinnati, trying to keep pace with the Steelers. Let's go to K-Star, AFC. Who you like? Let's see if this is a homer pick.
I'm going with the Ravens here. I'm not sure about the status of AJ Green. The Bengals actually did lose Leon Hall for the year, which is a rough loss because he's a very good cornerback. And it's in Baltimore. Baltimore's usually pretty good. Coming off, you know, their usual stinker like they just had last week. I want to go to Baltimore. I feel like Ray Rice gets the ball. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I'm just going to go to Baltimore. They're the home team.
Train?
I want to pick Cincinnati so bad, but those two injuries – like I don't know the status of Green, and he has been having a phenomenal season with Andre Dalton. So, and them losing that cornerback at the same time, as K-Star said, that's big. And Baltimore at home, I picked against Baltimore at the beginning of the season when they were at home, going against the Steelers. So I'm going to have to pick Baltimore for this one.
I'm going to be the voice of dissension, and I'm going to tell you why. I think Dalton's going to outplay Flacco. I think, I know that Baltimore has, can play with some defensive intensity. But, you know, that game against Seattle bugs me. It bugs me that they have such a big one. This is twice this year. that the Ravens have a big win and then stink it up the next game. Two times. I can't support them right now. I can't pick them right now. I can't do it. I'd like to.
Excuse me.
I can't do it right now.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Now, I'm going to check the pick 'em. I'm going to check the pick 'em when the game comes up. You better make sure you have Cincinnati picked.
Oh, I could check. This is Tuesday night, man. There could be more information. I usually don't do my pick 'em on Friday, Saturday. So that's
okay.
Not fair. Something could happen between now and the end of the week, and I'd be like, okay, I got to go to Baltimore now because of an injury or something. But right now I'm picking Cincinnati. So San Diego goes and plays. Who are they playing, Trey?
The Bears.
Start with you, Trey.
The Bears.
Jesus Christ. This is what we get.
That is the
great analyst from the Bears fan. The Bears. I'm fucking done.
The Bears. That's what you get. Next.
Hey, Star. Come on, man. Rep your AFC, man. Is San Diego all done? Are you throwing in the towel? Or does Phillip Rivers do what San Diego does and start to turn it on in the second half of the season and give us enough to make us think the Chargers are back? Is it over or are they back?
Bears are back, and that's the problem for San Diego. They're a better team than San Diego. I take them against the Chargers three straight weeks in a row. I'm about to make it four because, you know what, every time I've been right. So going with the Bears, especially at home. Bears, again, they have identity. Chargers are struggling. You got to go Chicago here.
You know, everything in me is saying to pick the Bears. They're on a roll, three in a row. They're at home. San Diego has lost three in a row. Everything is saying pick the Bears. Chargers. Well, going with the Chargers. I cannot. Like I said last week, I was the only voice of dissension with the Patriots. I said Tom Brady is not going to lose three in a row. I'm sorry, I can't get my brain around it. I'll say it this week. I'm not a huge Phillip Rivers fan. I just can't buy that the Chargers are going to go and lose four in a row. Four.
Well, next Tuesday night, I'm telling you.
Put off that huge win. Put off that huge win against Detroit. This is the letdown that hopefully they won't have. But I got to go with the Chargers. It got tough to pick a fourth game, so I went with Kansas City at New England. I don't know why. I have a few other games that we can talk about.
I was just about to ask, why that one in particular?
Well, I mean, Kansas City has shown some life this year. I thought it was a trap game for New England. They're at home. They're coming off a great win against the Jets. And, Kansas City's playing in a division that's still up for grabs, so they have something to play for. Now, I know Matt Castle got some injury, problems. I actually had picked this before realizing that. But I think it's a trap game. I think there's a lot of trap games this week, a lot of them. And so that's the one that got on the schedule because I picked. You guys want to host next week when y'all want to host, you can pick four games. So I'll start with
Wow. We just asked the question, man.
You know what I'm saying? Shoot. Somebody want to give me a week off, I'll call in, eating bonbons on my couch, K-Star. KC at New England. Do I even need to ask?
No, New England by a lot. It's just is what it is at this point.
Trent.
Chiefs lost Matt Castle. It's tough. So, it's going to be bad. It's going to blow out.
Yeah. Pats across the board, Train.
The Patriots.
All right. And I got the Pats, too. Trap game, but I think Patriots play. Some other games to talk about. The Eagles and the Giants. The Eagles, everyone's saying they're done, but mathematically they still have a shot. The Giants, this is a division game, and the Giants are coming off a loss. Vic is going to play, that's the report at least now, but, he does have the broken ribs. So, but the reason I wanted to talk about this game is, for all practical purposes, if the Eagles lose this game, they're done. They are done. There's no more talk about running the table and trying to get in. It's over. 3-7, you're done. So they have high motivation to go in here and be competitive because their season is riding on this game. So that said, I'm going to pick the Giants. Train?
Even if the Eagles win this game, their season is done. So I'm going to pick the Giants.
Not mathematically, but yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, their season is done, but yeah, mathematically, if they win, they're still alive. You know, it's not going to happen. They have to win out. It's going to make the playoffs. I don't think that's obviously going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen, but they still have something to play for.
At most, they can be a nagging team to have to beat because it's a division game, and you got Dallas right on there, you know, right on the Giants' tail. So it's still Giants.
Yeah, I agree. That front,
Giants all the way. All right.
Yeah, I go with the Giants. The front four of the Giants is too much. They went pressure Vic all night. You know, Vic Ray has a broken ribs. He had some inaccuracy issues with that last week. Who knows where Deshaun Jackson's head's at? I got to go with the Giants.
Yeah, and it's amazing because 2 weeks ago, you know, the questions were being asked about the Eagles, and now it's kind of like, you know. It's just amazing how this league can turn so fast. Another game that I put on here, a trap game. Dallas is going to play the Redskins in Washington, okay? And, you know, division game, the Redskins at home. You know, this is they always play Dallas tough at home. So That's right. You know, K-Star, does Dallas have a shot here? You know, or are you thinking that Redskins are gonna pull the upset?
Nah, Dallas will definitely win this game. I mean, last year was last year. The Redskins, they just don't know what they're doing. They're switching quarterbacks now every week. The defense is letting up. They have no run game to speak of. Yeah, I go with Dallas here with DeMarco Murray leading the charge and my fantasy team at that. And the Cowboys defense looks like it's ready to roll. DeMarco Square looking like the best defense player in the league right now. Cowboys.
Did you say fantasy football? Man, I am 8-2 in both my leagues, and I am so pissed off because I have two big games coming up, and it's New Orleans bye week. So Drew Brees is not playing next week, and Darren Sproles, who's on one of my teams, isn't going to be playing. I'm screwed. I am screwed.
Okay.
I'm in trouble in both leagues, man. I don't know that I can compete. And I'll tell you, Train, Tiki, man, Tiki's scaring me.
I just like to mention to K-Star that he is 8-2 in our league, and he has out of 14 teams, he has maybe the eighth most points. That's like 880 some total points. There are about five or six people, at least 900 or above.
Jesus,
when
Keith.
I say he is catching. When I say
very fortunate man.
Yes, he is catching opponents on that tough.
You are a very
man.
Fortunate fantasy owner. I'm proud of you. I mean, that's, you know.
I mean, the fact that I'm 8-2 in both leagues, I mean, it's a little more than fortune. There is some skill involved in this, you know. But what I think the thing to realize is that you get guys that have big weeks and they rack on the points because they have big weeks. Okay, it doesn't mean because someone has all those points they're doing that every week because they're not. Like Tiki, the guy in our league that's one game behind me that got me scared now, he picked up DeMarco Murray. So now he's racking up points, you know, that he wasn't racking up at the beginning of the season. So it is a little bit deceptive when you look at some of the points that people are racking up. You know, but that said, I don't think I'm going to win either game next week because my juggernaut quarterback isn't playing, and you know, so. But anyway, but I am right now. I'm 8-2, so you know, like I said,
as long as I get a playoff spot, I'm fine. I'm holding down the eighth spot.
Sitting here with these mere mortals.
That's okay. This mere mortal will see you first round. I will see you first round of fantasy football playoffs. I will stay in number eight spot.
You will see your eighth ring scoring team in the playoffs.
Yes, so I can play week 14.
Trank, did we not already play this year?
No, we will play again in the playoffs because I will hold down number eight spot so I can see you. Just have your week 14 roster ready.
I hope you come see me because I'd rather – I hope I am in a position to play you Because, like I said, man, there's a couple guys I'm worried about right now. Ain't you? But there's a couple guys I'm worried about right now.
It's all about matchups. Week 14 is a good week for me. We'll see.
Long way. It's a long way off, brother. We'll see. Who you got with Dallas and Washington?
Oh, man, Dallas. I will be, as a football fan, I will be thoroughly disappointed if Dallas does not win this game.
You and me both.
And please don't let Tony Romo choke, because we're going to have another 20-minute session on next week. So please let Dallas win this game so we don't talk about Tony Romo for 20 minutes.
I get a quick
Dallas,
segment.
Man. Dallas should easily win this game.
I'm gonna give my rant in a second, cuz give my quarterback the same respect that I give your teams. Cuz I've given the Bears nothing but respect. I said that the Bears were gonna emerge, and they've emerged. I've said that Ben is a top five quarterback, and I've said Mike Tomlin. I've given you guys team all respect, okay? And when we talk about Romo, I get hemming and hawing and this and that. And
showing any disrespect to your team?
I'm not.
Like, this show is supposed to be in and out, man.
K-Star really has a right to disagree with me. He has a right to disagree with me. See the laughter, because y'all can't handle the truth.
He can disagree. That's why we made this show.
We can
disagree.
Don't ridicule. When you ridicule my opinion, I'm going to blast you, because I don't ridicule your opinion. And that's what was happening.
I just vehemently disagree with your opinion. I didn't ridicule. I just vehemently disagreed. And I still do.
But I told you.
I was so ready to get Tony Romo some credit, and you just ruined it for me. I was so ready.
He's having better year than Eli. Why would that get you fired up?
Because we were just talking about Eli last week.
Let's not get started. Let's not get started.
No, we're not. But that's how you were acting. You were acting like I said he was having a better year than Ben. And
Okay. I'll just play this. Last week I said that Eli Manning was playing, and this year alone, he's playing like a top five quarterback. So maybe that's why I kind of jumped a little bit, because, I have to figure Eli Manning's been playing at elite level this year. I know 21 has some really good stats, but there's also been some games there where it's like, maybe I shouldn't have jumped into you as bad as I did. I just strongly disagree with the opinion. But,
Stafford. I disagreed last week when Train brought in Matthew Stafford, but that's how he felt. I didn't see it. I still don't see it. Now I don't see it even more. But when we talked last week about top five, what we all said was Aaron, Tom, Drew, Ben, and Eli, and I agreed with that. But I did say last week that the next tier – Romo's in the next tier. And after this week, playing as a high level as he did, now I escalated him a little bit. That was my right to do that. So now if he has a bad game against the Redskins, I'll reevaluate. That's what we do. I'll reevaluate. If he goes out there and, plays like crap, I'll reevaluate.
But right now,
what I'm seeing.
Right?
Absolutely. He should not. Absolutely he should not.
Okay. And that's all I'm saying. Dallas get this game. Next one.
He should not. And for him to make my prediction come true, he needs to go out there and play well next week. I didn't say he's going to be inconsistent. I said he is emerging to that next level, which means he's got to play good next week. No doubt about it. Last game, Buffalo at Miami. The reason I put this on the schedule is, for us to talk, last game that we'll cover this week, the reason that I put it on there is because a couple of weeks ago, we would have laughed at this game. We would have said Buffalo's going to wipe Miami off the map. Well, I feel a little bit differently. I'll start this conversation. I feel differently about this game now. I don't think Miami's going to the playoffs, but I think Miami's playing better football. Reggie Bush is giving me some fantasy points. And I got to tell you, I think Miami's going to beat Buffalo. I truly believe it with my heart that Miami is going to – they're at home. They're going to beat Buffalo. K-Star, what do you think?
I actually agree with you. I don't want to say the Bills are bad, because they're probably like 8-8, 9-7 football team. But the Dolphins haven't been playing some pretty good football for the past month or so. They've lost some tough games, but they've actually played some very competitive football. With Miami being at home, Reggie Bush is playing pretty good football as well. That defense is playing well under Mike Nolan. I am going to agree with you there that Miami pulls off the upset in Miami. You know, it's a division game as well, so as we know, those tend to get a little tight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Train? Wow.
I do agree that it will round out to probably be a tough game for Buffalo. Buffalo doesn't look as solid as they've been earlier this season, especially with the loss, with the way they lost the game against Dallas. Even though I changed my pick late on in the week for Dallas to win that game, but I really expected Buffalo to play tougher. But even with all that said, I'm going to go with Buffalo for this game.
Okay. All right. Oh, wait a minute. We have an emergency person that wants to get on real quick and just mention, I'm getting a message. He wants to back me real quick about Romo. So let me let him on real quick. Welcome to the Madden.
Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
All right. I mean, T.O.'s trying to get back into Dallas. Just wanted to call and support Tony Romo. I could let the guy call in. I didn't tell him to call in. I don't even know T.O. like that. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. What? You say what? Somebody else wants to say? In order to get better, you got to do – in order to get – shut up and – what? I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand. I'm getting a message here. In order to get better, you need to do
– we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Okay. I'm sorry. All these guys want to get on and talk about football as we're trying to go off the air. All right, guys. Any final comments? Any last comments?
My final comments, I look forward to next season. And with all the talk we had this evening, let's just let next week's games back up everything we said or not said. So with that, I look forward to next week, and I look forward to Chicago getting themselves another win, headed toward the playoffs.
All right, K-Star?
I really don't have much to say. The Steelers have a bye week, so this is pretty depressing for me. I'm just going to enjoy the game Sunday, root for my fantasy squad, and, root for my picks as well. I like to root for myself in pretty much any situation in life. So go picks of K-Star.
And I'm going to let Herm Edwards say my words for me because he's much more eloquent than I am.
Hello. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
All right. I do want the floor just for a quick minute before we sign off. Just a quick little rant. I feel like I've used up all my Dallas time tonight, so I'm a little – I probably shouldn't do this, but hell, I'm the host. I can do what I want. I do want to say to the media out there, I do want to say to the press, okay, if you guys disagree with me, that's fine. But I do want to say that I was a little disappointed that the Cowboys blow out the Buffalo Bills and it's almost overlooked by ESPN. It's almost overlooked by NFL Network. But when the Cowboys don't perform, it's the top story of the hour. And I got to hear it all week long. When the Cowboys lost to the Eagles, I heard it all week. They blow out the Bills, a team that many people thought might win that division, especially when they beat the Patriots, a team that many people thought was a good team, and almost no coverage. We beat Seattle. I hear you should have beat Seattle worse. Well, guess what? Seattle just went out and beat Baltimore. So, maybe Seattle's a little bit better than you thought. They're not a playoff team, but maybe they're a little bit better. But you said, that's a team you should have won. You should have be only won by 10 points, Dallas. What's going on?
So now we bury the Buffalo Bills. I don't get no press. Not only do I not get no press, CBS at the beginning of the fourth quarter says we're going to switch to a more competitive game. And they try to get me to watch the Steelers and the Bengals. I don't want to watch the Steelers and the Bengals. I want to watch the Cowboys. I don't care what the score is. You give me my Cowboys. And when we win, you give them the same press as when we lose. Okay? That's my beef with the media. If you want to make Dallas the top story, then you give us the same press. You want to blow it up when we lose? I take it. I get ribbed all week. I get text messages and emails. I get people coming up to me in grocery stores when I have my Cowboy hat. What happened to Dallas? What's going on with Tony Romo? What's going on with your run defense? Jason Garrett don't know what he's doing. He can't call plays. I get it all week. When we win like that decisively over a team that's supposed to be pretty good, don't put them on as the 10th story and you only show 13 seconds and then you move on. You give them the same press, all right? Or don't come it either way. When we win or lose, I'll take that too. Leave us alone. Then. Let us go under the radar and let us go on and do what we do. All right, I'm done. Had to get that off my chest. I feel better now, guys. All right.
Thank God.
Yeah, I feel better. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you. Hey, real quick, man, before we sign off. Tournament update, man. You ain't give us no tournament update. Madden, what's going on with the tournament? K-Star.
All right, I'm actually about to play my second game of the night on PS3 in the Battle of the Gridiron tournament. It's right now, it'll be the top 64. As far as Xbox went, I lost in the Final 16. Second person I played was a problem. I beat him. Beat a couple other guys. And now, I lost a game in which I just want to go on a quick rant, actually. You know what? Lose my rant. Now, I love online, don't get me wrong, I love VG, you know, I made it to the finals last year. However, the problem with VG in the online situation is there's a lot of people who jump on other people's names to play these games because it's hard to be, you know, caught doing so. I had a situation last week where the person I was supposed to play wasn't the guy I was supposed to play, and I still should have won the game. I had a few fumbles with D'Angelo Williams, who played the Panthers this year, and Cam Newton. But it's just annoying because, you know, again, I lost the game, but there's some other examples where there's some rumors that, oh, Lopes was on this name playing for someone and someone was on that name. It's just, it ruins the integrity of the whole tournament, which is sad, again, to see. But as far as this goes, you know, I'm still in the PS3 tournament. I just won a game earlier while playing, or while actually doing the radio show with you guys. And so, again, I'm in the top 64 in the PS3. I made the finals last year in PS3. Hopefully I can repeat it. But, yeah, that's just my quick rant. People jump on people's names. It's quite annoying. It's hard to prove who's playing as who. But, it's the only problem with these online tournaments.
Man, you know, K-Star, man, I got to be honest. You made me sick, man. You made me sick, man. I played you in a tournament, man, a couple years ago. You played with one hand tied behind your back and one eye closed and blew me out. Now 2 years later, you on a damn radio show hosting a show with us and you play some guy and beat him, man. You make me sick, man. You're too damn good, man. I'm jealous.
It was actually 30... It was 35-3, by the way, the guy I played about 45 minutes ago while doing the show. It was 35-3, just FYI.
Damn, hey, wherever that guy is that just lost, K-Star was on a radio show and whooped you. That's worse than beating me with one hand tied behind his back and one eye closed, man. Damn.
Good time.
I'm about to go play Assassin's Creed now, man. I'm done with Madden. All right, man. Hey. I want to thank you guys, man. It's been awesome. I appreciate it. I'll let you guys know the time next Tuesday. We're going to try to stick to 8 o'clock if possible. Next week's Thanksgiving week, so everybody go out, get your turkeys, get your stuffing, get your sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie, whatever y'all like eating, your cranberry sauce and all that good stuff. And we'll try to do something special on the show for Thanksgiving. And, you know, for Train, for K-Star, for the EAFL, check out the EAFL, EAFLMadden.com. And, hey, check out the Gamers Lab, man. I haven't given Gambino a shout-out in a while. And our forums are still active on Gamers Lab. And apparently the EAFL is still functioning. I was able to finally find out. So my thoughts of a death to the EAFL were premature. I'm glad to say they're still functioning. So check EAFLMadden.com. Check it out. Check out the Madden Voice, MaddenVoice.com, and make sure you go to Facebook, the Madden Voice on Facebook, Twitter, the Madden Voice. Get familiar. We're going to be here every week. It's going to get better and better. And, hey, sorry if I took too much time talking about Tony Romo, man. The guy, you know, he got hit me between my heart, man. Got me right here. Next week, I won't, you know what, next week I won't even talk about Tony Romo. I won't even bring him up next week. I'm not even going to say nothing. Notice how I'm setting that up, Train? Notice how I'm setting that up?
Okay.
You see how I'm setting that up? Next week, I won't even talk about Tony Romo.
Yeah.
I see you.
Okay.
Tell me, right? So, yeah, right. Happy day. I ain't even got to talk about him, right? all right, man. Hey, Madden community, NFL land, football land, we appreciate the support. We appreciate the love. Hope we entertained you tonight. If you have suggestions on the show, send me a Twitter. And, you guys want to call in and jump in on the conversation, make sure you do so. But remember, you know, in the Madden Voice, in the EAFL, and in the game of Madden, all feuds are always settled on the field. Everybody have a good night.